This morning, we picked up there in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. And just kind of a, I want you to take, while you've got that, I want you to notice that verse in verse number 16 there. It talks about He'd grant you the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. I want you to go to Colossians. Turn over there just a few pages to the book of Colossians chapter 1. This is not just a isolated thought or doctrine in the Bible. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherever my Paul made a ministry. By the way, I'll just say that's why I do not go along with the idea that the gospel has to be preached everywhere in the world and then Jesus can come. It's already been preached. It's already been done. And you say, well, I don't know. Who's got a record of that? God does. That's all you need. And then chapter 2, verse number 7 says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then he says, verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. This is why when we read this passage of scripture, he said, being rooted and grounded in love. God does not want you to be rooted and grounded and all that other stuff. But just to give you those couple of verses, you know, this is not some isolated principle about being rooted and grounded in love. And that's what we talked about this morning just very quickly. We talked about the fact that Paul is saying here that it is God's will for us to be governed by the Spirit of God that's in us rather than by our flesh or by other outside sources. That governing of the Spirit is going to come through the Word of God. When we talk about being filled with Spirit, walking in Spirit, being led in Spirit, we're not talking about just some mystic situation out here in the air. We're talking about that the Spirit of God is going to lead you by the Word of God, not going to lead you in opposition to the Word of God. And you always, that's why you always want to check everything that's going on. Some people often say to me, Reg, I don't know whether this is from the Lord or not. Well, is it consistent with the Word? Does it agree with the general principles of God's Word? Is it in opposition to God's Word? Does it violate God's Word? And you can know whether you're being led of the Spirit in a situation or not. And I always ask myself, would the devil want this? Pray for Van. He's taking off visiting churches across the country again. And he called me. He said, Reggie, I was down at camp, had a guy come down there to look about doing some work. And somehow or another, they got to visiting. And Van was able to give him the gospel. The man did not know, or he said not saved. And Van was able to visit with him. And, oh, Van, he's good. Van's seasoned. He knows. And he just told the guy after giving the gospel and answered all his questions to him, giving the gospel about how to be saved. Christ died in your place for your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy. He said, you go on about your work. Said, I'll be around the campground. Said, if you decide you want to get saved, come get me. That boy come got him and said, I need to get saved right now. And let the Lord do His work. Amen. That's what I like, you know. So anyway, pray for Van as he's going out and pray for camp as it approaches this year that God will just really do a great work from there. There's people as far away from Florida. Van and I actually are talking about doing an interview and putting it on the Facebook page. And, so people outside the area can know more about what's going on. Well, we said that it's the will of the Lord that we be governed by the Spirit. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I preach about this stuff, it's easier for me to preach on just subjects and sin than it is to preach on this because I fail in this area so much. And I went home, like I said, last week after preaching that. And then the first thing you know, that later this week, I have a problem. I'm being governed by my flesh instead of the Holy Spirit. Nonetheless, that ought to be our will, our desire is just to, and I tell you, don't give up just because you fall and fail. You get in the mud hole, get up out of it, confess your sin, and get the mercy of God and keep trucking. I said this morning, we're not trying to imitate Christ. We're allowing Christ to live in and through us and out of us. And being governed by that inner man, which we said is a picture. Fellas, you can put those roots up on there again. But I wanted to draw out just a little bit of a deal here for you. Now, I don't know who all, whether you can't see this or not. But again, this tree thing, here's the deal. Galatians 5, if you want to draw a chart, put it in your Bible, do what you want to. But Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is the fruit of the Spirit. Again, it's Spirit. The work of the Spirit is down here in the roots of our life. And that is the being rooted and grounded in love, 1 Corinthians 13. So this is not just spooky, mystic stuff in here. This is legitimate biblical principles spelled out in the Bible. Now watch this. The Bible said that the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So the love of God, and we said there are roots that literally there are roots that they call heart roots. Tap root, but you have these heart roots. They're very, very important. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It is an unseen work of the Holy Spirit that has to go on and needs to go on. But God says it has to be rooted and grounded in love. I really want to bear down on this. And I encourage, because, you know, one of the biggest blessings about this church is just all the families and young people and kids that are here. And I want to encourage us to really get a hold of this message about the fact that is my family, is my home, is my marriage, am raising these children, are they being rooted and grounded in love? If you can get them rooted and grounded in love, you will not have to worry about a lot of other things. Because if they love the Lord and they love you and love other people, there are going to be 1,000 things they're not going to have to worry about and say, well, I can't do that because that's a rule in our house. If we're ruling by love, if we're rooting ground in love, it's going to take care of all these issues. You get a child that loves God, is rooted and grounded in love, loves the Lord, loves the Word of God, you're not going to worry about him. That's what we're after. We're not after a bunch of rules. I'd rather go home right now and never come back as to have a church that's rooted and grounded in rules and regulations and laws and legalism and all that junk. It ain't going to do nobody no good. In fact, it's just going to make hypocrites out of everybody. So anyway, we talked about all those things that's not in. Now, we said this morning, 1 Corinthians is the root. We talked about the definition that God gives, love suffereth long and is kind. And it's those things, and we don't do that in of ourselves. I'm not naturally long-suffering. I'm not naturally kind. I'm not naturally nothing good. But the Holy Spirit of God can work that in us as we yield to him. And the picture that, if you can get me that picture, guys, of the one on the rock, I'd appreciate it. That thing spoke so much to me because I looked at that picture and I thought, in Matthew chapter 7, the last part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks about building your house upon the rock. And what I got thinking about was this, let's see, guys, another one. The one on the mountain up there on the big old rock, if you can find it. And I got to thinking, all right, here's this little seed that got dropped down on this rock. And it took off. I mean, where's it going to go? There it is. I'm telling you now, you look at them close, you're like, how on earth are them things staying? How are they standing? Well, the truth about it is those trees may be in better shape than trees with roots in some dirt. Because I'm telling you, they will work themselves down into the rock. Jesus is the rock. Amen. And boy, I want to tell you something. When I got looking, I thought, well, Lord, help me to send my roots down. Holy Spirit, work through me, send the roots down. Because I'm going to tell you something. I live constantly around things. This week, I had a lady call me this morning. I mean, I'm telling you, just shook up, blowed out of the water because she got messed around with a bunch of cult. But you know, there can be things happen to you that you have no idea. There's people sitting here today. There's going to things that happen in your life. You don't know what's coming. I don't know what's coming. Maybe in my life. If you're not rooting ground, it's going to blow you out. I see it all the time. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you don't love the Lord, but you just don't understand. God, what on earth's happened in my life? You know, and I've had a pretty just pleasant life. I'll be honest with you. God's been so good to me. I don't know how to relate to a lot of people that's had lots and lots of trouble. But I'm telling you, things can blow you out of your life. But the whole deal is this, is to get anchored and get the roots of God's word and the spirit working through our lives in the inner man so that it brings forth the fruit. And let's go now to, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, back up from Ephesians chapter 3. And I know this message is different. I got hollering messages and there's all kinds of messages. And I don't know what kind of message this is. I'm just going to go and let the Lord take it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Is everybody there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. But the fruit of the Spirit. And notice the first thing is there's love. I personally believe that there are 9 fruit of the Spirit here. I personally believe that none of the other 8 spring out of the first one. Love. I don't believe you have peace over here and gentleness over here and temperance over here and so forth. All of that, I believe, has to spring out of the basic fruit of love.
Amen.
And I really believe that. That's what you see at listed verse. But out of that fruit that comes, as it's coming up through here, that love is going to produce those other fruit in our lives. But without the love, it ain't going to happen. I'm not going to be gentle to a person if I don't love them. I mean, not going to be good. Good. You look at them there. A joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance, Against such, there's no law. I kind of like that statement. Ain't no law against being gentle, amen? You ever? Oh, Congress made a law. Nobody can be gentle in this land no longer. That ain't the way it works, amen? There's certain things. So there's an unseen source. There's an unseen sustenance. And there's an unseen stability. And it's the roots that are rooted, if we're rooted and grounded in the love of God. We said the purpose of roots is to anchor that tree and to absorb water. And by the way, you can't breathe without trees. You know, I'll be glad for trees. Plant some trees in your life. Trees make the air sweet and good. I mean, I love trees. I'm not a tree hugger. I saw something funny the other day. Old log truck going down the road and had a great big log in the back and said, "Don't worry, I hugged it before I cut it." That's me, you know. I'm not a tree. But I'm going to tell you something. I like trees. I like dogwoods. I like redbuds. Boy, aren't they brilliant. They are absolutely beautiful. And I like trees. I like to walk down through the woods, and I like them. And they take a lot of junk out of the air. And I'll tell you what, an old cow's got enough sense to get underneath a tree when it's hot. But I'm going to tell you kids again, whenever it's lightning, don't you get underneath that tree. There's 4 or 5 teenagers killed up in Indiana just recently. They was out in the city park, started raining. They walked underneath the tree, lightning hit that tree and killed them, everyone. Unbelievable. So anyway, that we talked about the type of roots. There's tap roots, heart roots, flat roots, or lateral roots, and sinker roots. And so now tonight we're going to come to these passages of scriptures. Guys, if you can bring up John 3:16 or whatever that list of scriptures that I gave you guys, because I don't have it with me. But here's the thing I want to say. The love of God, now watch this, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I need to be careful that I'm not trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit in the power and energy of the flesh. Now, I think that's a big problem that we have in our life. My love is fickle. I might love you today and not think too much of you tomorrow. God's love is consistent, unchangeable. All right. If you can get those verses, guys, why, I'd appreciate that. I want you to sing a song with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. One of the greatest songs you'll ever sing. My dad used to say this, once a man, twice a child. And I've watched older men, they get old. The love of God means something to them. Let's look at some scriptures tonight. Let's talk about the love of God. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Go right on to the next scriptures I have, guys, because I don't even have them. If you've got them, I don't know. If you don't, just let me know so I don't just stand there. There we go. I don't know if that's the one that I'm needing or not. 5, 4. I should have brought my list with him. I apologize. I don't think I did. But if you get them, let me know. Okay, there it is. There you go. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. It commended his love toward us. God's love is an action. Just keep trucking. Just go right on through. If you've got them, if you don't, well, that's all right. 1 John 3. Now, here's where we're going to get into a lot of it. I would encourage you to read 1 John frequently. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. The liberal and the ungodly stuff, and even a lot of religious in America, they don't understand people like you and I. Had a man tell me today that's not from this area. He said, "Reggie," he said, "I'm going to tell you," he said, "in most of America right now," he said, "people like you are characterized to where nobody'd want to be you." He said, "you're painted out as being an idiot, stupid, fanatical, crazy." And he said, "if you'll think about it, even," and he brought this out, and he's right. He said, "even on Little House on the Prairie, preachers are made to look stupid." You ever see the preacher on the Little House on Prairie? He's pretty much a doofy, kind of just to go along, get along, except in one episode. But most of the time, he's just kind of a wimpy, nothing. And that's how they caricaturize. And there's a purpose in doing that, is to cause people to not want anything to do with genuine biblical faith. I literally had that problem myself when I was younger. Okay, let's go ahead, guys, if we can. Now, but look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not someday. I don't know why I'm doing all this. I had somebody told me this week, said, Reggie said that, you know, I was constantly told that you could not know that you were saved here and you'd only find out when you died. I'm telling you, I wouldn't serve a God like that. I'm serious with you. God wants you to know whether you're saved or not.
Amen.
He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have, present tense, eternal life. Now, you listen to me. A wicked God would kind of want to keep you taunted, wondering what's going to happen to you in the end.
Yeah.
In fact, the person talking to me about had been a Catholic at one time. They said, Reggie, the whole thing, they kept us never knowing. We just could not know until we died where we'd go. We'd either go to hell, go to purgatory, but we weren't going to heaven. Very few people ever met. You just didn't figure, you even thought about being that good to get to heaven. Hear the thought, being good enough to go to heaven. All right, verse number 14. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's a powerful verse. That's God's word. 1 John is one of the toughest books in the Bible. I call it the acid test book. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. See, God takes it from the act. He takes you all the way back to Cain, actually, here. Hereby we perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then he talks about love and action. Who hath this world's good? Seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Hereby we know we're the truth, and shall assure our hearts before God. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Whatsoever things we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He didn't say he kept commandments there to be saved. He said you receive him. He's talking about prayer, answered prayer. Let's go on down to verse number. Is that chapter 3, verse 16 to 23? This is the commandment that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, guys, if we can. That's where I'd kind of like to get to, and I appreciate all your help and all your work up there. And by the way, I don't watch much of the services. A lady mentioned me tonight, fellas, that she watched it last week, said it was kind of cloudy and fuzzy. This week's was fuzzy. She said, I don't know whether we might need to clean the eye of the camera or whatever like that. But anyway, 1 John chapter 4, God is going to talk about this issue of his love toward us, and then we'll get into another deal and finish out here if we can get into that. They got it? Okay. Here it is. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak to the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we perceive the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. That's the source of it. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. Now I want to ask you a question, because this is so serious here, because this whole country, they love the idea of the love of God as long as they can define and set the perimeters about that love. But they want to define it. Did Jesus love the Pharisees when he called them vipers and serpents? You bet he did. The Bible said, when Stephen talks about disciplined children, it says, he that loveth his son chasteneth him betimes when he's little bitty. It says, if you don't chasten him, you don't love him. And we better be sure that our understanding of the love of God is consistent. I want to ask you a question. God will send people to hell. Does he love them? Yeah, he loves them. I've always said, you can go to hell unsaved, but you'll never go to hell unloved. Because God takes the death of every man. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The reason I'm going through all this is because God wants us rooted and grounded in his love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Here in his love. Now here it is. Not that we love God. It's not our love. But he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit. Notice the connection between the spirit of God and the love of God. And as we've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Now think, connect that to being rooted and grounded in love. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. I've gotten acquainted with some guys on Facebook that are street preachers. I want to tell you what you're talking about, some tough dudes. I mean, they go to the roughest spots in this nation. I mean, the people come out of them joints aren't fans of Christianity. And they'll get where they're legally able to be it on the street, and I mean, they'll preach. And I'll tell you what, they'll get spit on, cussed out. This nice, safe place up here behind this pulpit. This Apostle Paul would go, into those cities, find a place to preach. There is no fear in love. What's the deal? They love those people enough, they're not afraid to go out there on the street and tell them. Perfect love casteth out fear. Takes love to tell somebody about the Lord. This is why he wants us rooted and grounded in love. If we're not rooted and grounded in love, you're probably not going to tell anybody about Christ. You love yourself, but you don't care whether anybody else dies and goes to hell, or you're controlled by fear. And God doesn't want you governed by fear. We love him, not because it's in us, but because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That is a given. Let's go to chapter 5, verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, in other words, you love God that begat, that birthed you in the family of God, loves also him that is begotten. A man that's saved is going to love another man that's saved. Just comes natural. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God, keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Let's just stop here. Notice the connection between loving God and keeping his commandments. Being rooted and grounded in love. I said, if we love the Lord, his love is being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We're not going to look at it as a big pain. I can't do this and I can't do that. And it's a bunch of rules and regulations. This making sense. So when you start studying the whole subject of love in the Bible, you'll find out that God doesn't say, here's the Ten Commandments and I want you to, that one, I want you to keep it. It's not that. I'll even tell you this. God, the first commandment in the Bible was to love the Lord thy God. That's the greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God, not the first and first just stuff God said to do, but the greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. Second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets, he said. Okay? But I ain't never met anybody yet loves God with all their heart and soul of you. I never have. The biggest law I've ever broke is not loving God. Here's why you got to be born again. Here's why you need the Holy Spirit living through you with his love and not an imitation, humanistic love. And this is what I want us to pray for in this church. To quit trying to live the Christian life in the energy and power of our intellect or being a nice Christian. And being filled with the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is taking the love of God through the roots of our souls up into our lives and producing genuine real fruit. But here's what I love about this. This is why I'm crazy about this. This is why I'm going to seed on this. Because it's not, you can't do this and rules and regulate. He's connecting, keeping the commandments with love. Amen. Okay, let's try it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Dadgummit. Can't commit adultery. What's the problem with that? No love. If I have God's love in me, If I have God's love in me, I will not want to bring reproach to God by committing to adultery. Amen. Secondly, if I love that lady sitting right over there. You see, if I've got the love in me, it's not, dadgummit, I can't commit adultery. Shucks. I don't want to. I love the Lord. I love it. Thou shalt not steal. Dadgummit. Does everybody see the difference? But it's even worse than that. We want to be thought we're nice people. So I won't steal unless I can do it so secretly nobody would ever know it. Or unless I can do it in such a way I can say, that wasn't stealing. Or thou shalt not lie. I don't want to lie so blatantly that everybody says, that's a thing lied. I just want to keep it so subtle that you could call it a misunderstanding and maybe we see it from a different perspective. But you see, if the love of God's in me, I don't even want to worry about that. I don't even want to get close to it. I don't want, that's why he said, avoid the very appearance of evil. That's a commandment. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Why didn't he say this is the law of God? He said the love of God. The power of Christianity is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, emanating up through the unseen roots of our soul, through our heart, into our life, and it governs the way we live. Does this make sense? Now here's my problem. I'm like the Apostle Paul. How to perform that, I find not. The only thing I know to do is ask the Lord, do it. Lord, I can't, unless you do it, it's not be done. But that's what we ought to be praying for. That's what Paul was praying for in Ephesians chapter 3. To be honest about it, the whole world's looking for us to love. All right, we got 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Let's just take off. Verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. By the way, I love this because, back that down just a little bit. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Lose your salvation, people. Love this phrase, overcome. And they all talk about being overcomers, being overcome. And you get the book of Revelation in the seven churches, seven times it's going to tell you a reward of those that overcome. And they'll go in and start, and they'll shift that from your sanctification to your salvation. And they'll make you feel like that if you don't overcome, that you won't be saved in the end, okay? Do you know, Bible's going to tell you what an overcomer is. Right here it is. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that what? Believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Being saved makes you an overcomer through Christ. It's not you stringing up, I'm going to hang in there and I'm going to be stronger Christian than you are in all your pride. And it has nothing to do with that. It really doesn't. But anyway, oh boy, I sent you this different kind of message. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Oh, what was it came out of Jesus' side? Water and blood. You got a song that tells you about that doctrine. Come on. It's water and the blood from his wounded side which flowed. Watch this. Be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. It's one of the greatest doctrines in the Bible. Proves that easy believism is wrong. That true salvation doesn't just save you from the wrath of God, but it'll produce pureness in your heart. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Them old songwriters, you got to watch them. Some of them didn't know what they was talking about, but a lot of them old hymns, buddy, I'll tell you what, they'll teach you more in a heartbeat than most preachers teach you in 10 years. Anyway, let's keep trucking. I'm getting off there. Oh, my goodness. He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Watch this. Here's the verse. All of your Bibles, all of the Bibles, except the King James Bible, removes this verse. I guess we're just going to do a few things here. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Every Bible said the King James Bible, that verse is out. Yep. If you want to know how to find whether it's a false Bible, go check that verse right there.
Yeah.
And there's a reason, because that verse proves the deity of Jesus Christ. All these NIV, all that stuff, they do not, the people that, quote, translated those false Bibles do not believe truly in Jesus Christ. They have another Jesus. Now I'm going to give you something, because some of mine had a lady call this morning. She got hit up by the apostolic onenesses, okay? What I want to tell you something. You stay away from those people. You stay away from those people. They mess with you, you just take your fist. So you get away from me right now. And you're not going to control the conversation. They'll chase this word right here all through the Bible. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. And they don't believe in baptizing the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They're called Jesus only, okay? They're called oneness. All right? Here's how to get them. I'll just give you. If you want to get them. So, all right? You like that verse? What's this word?
Three.
Why don't you put as much emphasis on this word as you do that word? Why don't you put as much emphasis on this number as you do on that number? Because that don't fit their theology. And I could go through all kinds of things about the triune Godhead. You're created in the image of God. You have a head, torso, legs. You've got three joints in every appendage of your body. Boom, 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 boom. Toes, 1, 2, 3, check them all. You're made in the image of God. You have a spirit, you have a soul, you have a body. There are three, and yet they're one. You say, I can't understand that. God does not have to explain that to you. He tells you that, you believe him, or you deny him. That's all it is about it. When he created man, he said, let us create man in our image. And he wasn't talking about the angels. That's what they'll try to tell you. All right. That was just a side deal. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for the witness of God is which he hath testified of his Son. We'll go through 13 here. He that believeth on the Son hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Anybody got any land or houses in this deal? Anybody got any records over to courthouse? You know, if you got into a lawsuit, somebody challenged that, watch this, hang on to your seats now. If they challenge you on that, you probably get your lawyer to go over to the courthouse and get the records out and get a legal description out and say, there's a record. Somebody says, well, you're not married to Karen. I said, you know what? There's a marriage certificate over there. There are records in the courthouse, and we put heavy emphasis on them. I mean, God's a God of records, all right? He talks about having your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their records are important with God, I'm telling you. All right? Watch this. This is the record that God hath given. You didn't merit it. You didn't earn it. You didn't be good enough for it. He's given to us eternal life. Now, that's God's record. He's talking about people who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He's saying, this is the record that God hath given. The preacher didn't give it to you. Mama didn't give it to you. Daddy didn't give it to you. Denomination didn't give it to you. The priest didn't give it to you. God give us eternal life. What? Define eternal. Define it. What does eternal mean? If it ever stops, was it eternal? Can't be. This is why most churches are not preaching biblical salvation. They're preaching man's salvation. Did you know what God said he's the author of? He's the author of eternal salvation. That's the book of Hebrews. That's the kind of salvation that God gives. He is both the author and the finisher of our salvation. He said, you don't start it, you don't finish it. And he said, I give him eternal life. Now watch this. This eternal life is in your baptism. Is that what it says? This life is in your church membership. This life is in you giving to the church. This life is in you not beating your wife. This life is in you not sucking a cigarette. This life is in you not drinking a beer. None of that stuff saves you. Eternal life is in his Son. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now watch this. Watch this. I had a person come to me this week. Said, I'm concerned about my salvation. Good question. I want to say something to you. I learned something through this. They come to me and said, I'm having doubts about my salvation. And I want to talk to you about it. Went through the scriptures, visited with them. And I'm not God, but I came to the conclusion what they told me, that God was just trying to draw them closer to himself. Sometimes when God's doing some things, he's trying to draw you closer to himself, okay? Well, watch this. And we looked at this verse here, and I wanted to say this. It made me think, how many people in this church might want to have a visit? I want you to just tell you something. If your family, dad especially, listen to him. If there's, you have children, they've got questions, and you say, I'd just like for Reg to be with me or help me on answering this. I want you to know I'm available. Call me, okay? I'll come. And if you got questions like that, I'm interested in helping you. Serious questions, okay? Watch this now. This is the record. If we got records at the courthouse, how much more records are in heaven? That God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's not in religion, nothing else. Watch this. He that hath the Son, not he that hath the baptismal certificate, not he that's names on a church roll, none of that stuff. He that hath the Son hath life. What kind of life? That eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Everybody you know, and yourself and myself, we either have Jesus Christ as our Savior or we do not. If you have him as your Savior, if you received him as your Savior, he gave you eternal life. He birthed a new man in you, created in true righteousness and true holiness, born of the Spirit of God. And now you have two natures in you. There's the old flesh man, no good in him, profits nothing. God ain't overhauling him. God's not reforming him. And he created a new man. And those two are contrary one to the other, Galatians 5, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love. If you be led of the Spirit, okay, you won't walk in the flesh. Now he said this, watch this. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I tell you what, I'm just right now, I'm preaching. I'm going to tell you something very real. I would tell you while I'm preaching. The Holy Ghost is bearing witness in my heart that I'm making the devil mad right now. And I like that. This is going to do somebody some good. I will get that thing out of the way right now. I have seen this passage of Scripture set more people free than any passage of Scripture in the Bible. These things have I written unto you. God said, these what things? These things up here have I written unto you that believe, again, on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And then he continues on. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. I'm going to tell you right now, God wants you to know whether you're saved or not. Yes. If you have the Son, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, that he died in your place for your sin, and you've come to him for forgiveness and sin, received him, believed on him, God saves you. And he wants you to know you're saved. You say, boy, Reggie, now watch this. How many here have been saved, but sometimes you don't feel like you're saved? All right? God never says that you're saved by your feelings. You're saved by faith. I'm a preacher. Now, I'm a rough old piece of wood. There have been thousands of times I've had to say, God, I have nothing but your word. If you don't keep your word, I'm gone to hell. But he'll keep his word. God won't lie to nobody. He won't lie to nobody. These things have I written unto you. And I want you to take that personal tonight. So I'm here to tell you, whether you listen online here, either you have the Son tonight or you don't. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And God wrote these things so that you'd know whether you did or not. The way it is. All righty. Try to get this thing finished up. Mercy sakes alive. Aren't you glad I didn't try to finish this morning? I want to ask you tonight, ask yourself a question. What are you honestly rooted and grounded in? Religion? Law? Whatever. What are your children being grounded in your home? Law, legalism, evolution, religion, self-righteousness, sports, world pleasures, philosophies, money, possessions, education, pride. What are they being rooted and grounded in? Now, we're going to finish up back in Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll finish this up. I'm going to bring the board over here again to show you something. This is sweet. This is sweet. You're back in Ephesians chapter 3, And after all that, in verse 18, he says that you may be able, if we get rooted and grounded in love, and the Spirit of God is working and producing that fruit through our lives, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's talk about four things here tonight, quick. The breadth of the love of God. How wide is the breadth of love of God? How wide? Save anybody. Wide enough to save you tonight. The breadth of the love of God, how wide is it? It's wider than the oceans, wider than the continents. For God so loved the world. And I want anybody listening to me tonight to know that God's love is wide enough to cover you. Wide enough to save the Asians, save the South Americans, save the Eskimos, the Europeans, the Africans, the Australians, every man. Jesus tasted death for every man. And you may be here tonight and you wonder if God's love is wide enough to save you. It is. God wants you to know it. You're not out there somewhere where God's love does not reach you. Second thing he said there, the length. How long is God's love? Never was a time God didn't love you. The Bible said he loved us with an everlasting love. Bible teaches he loved you before you was ever conceived in the womb. God knew you before you were even conceived. There never was a time when God started loving you. He's always loved you. That's pretty long, amen? Amen. That's infinite love because you can't see the end of it. So I want to ask you an obvious question. When will God stop loving you? David talked about this in the Psalms. He said, though I make my bed in hell. David comprehended the love of God. Let me tell you why he comprehended. David got messed up so bad. God loved him enough to send a man named Nathan to him. Did God whoop David? Did God chastise David? You better believe it. Referring to anybody would want. But he didn't get out of reach of God's love. You listen to me tonight, beloved. Let me tell you what I want to get down to you tonight. That if we could comprehend the love of God, we'd bow our knees. It produces love in us. That's the honest truth. You see, it's not me getting up here and preaching against this and preaching against that's going to draw you closer to God. It's when you, after you're saved, you begin to comprehend how much God has loved me. I'll be honest with you. There are times when I've told God, why don't you just get me out of the way. I'm doing more damage than good. You ever felt that way? And you know, I can't get moved out from beneath his love. I can't move out from underneath his love. I can't go far enough to get out from underneath his love. The breadth of his love, the length of his love. And if you just look at David's life, oh David, don't let the devil ever tell you that God has quit loving you. He has not stopped loving you. Amen. Then the next thing, the height of God's love. This is wild. The breadth, the length, and the height. Did it say height or I get the wrong one? Depth. Oh, I need to get that first, don't I? The depth. I said a while ago, David talked about the lowest hell. How deep can you get? Is there some place you can be in sin deep enough and get away from the love of God? Did you know that the darkest prisons in the world tonight, the love of God can reach? How many knows that the song we sung tonight was written in a prison? A lot of that verses were written in a prison on a wall. The love of God is greater far than all that was written on a prison wall. Yeah. Somebody was in a prison and they experienced the love of God and they wrote that song, The Love of God. You can't get any place. I'm telling you something. I remember, I hate to say this. My kids didn't mind that so bad for them. I hate to have my grandkids hear this, but I remember being drunk out of my mind and crawling around the ground. I couldn't get drunk enough to get away from the love of God. You can't dope enough to get away from the love of God. There's not a hell hole in America tonight or anywhere else. There's not a casino. There's not a whorehouse. There's not a crack house in Minnesota tonight, Minneapolis, but where the love of God, if they'll just look up to God tonight, where He loves them. How deep is the love of God? It reached down to an old sinner like me, saved a hypocrite like me. A religious hypocrite like, saved me. That's deep. The depth of God's love. No pit. You know, David said He brought me out of that horrible pit. But I like this one here. Look at the last one, the height. That we could comprehend the height. How many knows where you're seated tonight judicially? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many knows where you're going to rule and reign? With Christ Jesus. You're talking about the comprehending the height of God's love? God is called higher than the highest. He loves you so much, He's going to take you to glory with Him. You're going to rule and reign with Him forever. Hard to comprehend, right? But it's the love of God that'll make us comprehend the love of God. Man. I'm like the old black preacher said, I wished I could preach that. Put up Romans 8:31 if you don't care. Romans 8:31 through 39. Corrie Ten Boom's sister revealed that. She was in a concentration camp. I believe she was in Auschwitz. There in Auschwitz, the love of God reached down to her. She was able to love those guards that beat her and killed her sister. Corrie Ten Boom tells about meeting one of the meanest guards that was there. She talks about meeting them later after the war. Now, some of you I can tell has read that story. It's an amazing story because she did not want to forgive him. But she was able to comprehend because she was rooted and grounded in love. She was able to stick out her hand and forgive that guard for all that she did to her and her sister during that captivity. Paul knew how wide and how long and how deep and how high the love of God was, killing Christians. On the road to Damascus, the love of God reached down into an old religious Pharisee's heart and changed him, turned him around. The gospel of Christ is the expression and extension of God's love. You're going to have to do something with God and His love. You're either going to have to receive God's love or spurn God's love and spit on God's love, but you're going to do something with God's love. Let's read here before we finish. What should we say to these things? It's just good for you to read every once in a while. If God be for us, and He is. Amen. He's so for us that He gave His Son to die for our sins. If God be for us, who can be against us? That fires my soul up. That makes me want to preach. Amen. I don't care who's against me. It don't matter. As long as God's for me, the rest of it don't matter. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Comprehending the love of God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. You didn't justify yourself. Other people didn't justify. It's God that justifies you. Watch this. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Can being killed separate you from the love of God? No. As is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. Why, you catching this? Or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Devils can't separate you. The love of God to comprehend it. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I can't preach it. I just don't have the ability to preach the love of God. First of all, I can't comprehend it all. I can believe it, receive it, trust it. But to express it and articulate it, can't do it. But I want to give you this before we go home. If you want to know the love of God, now watch this. Tell me those four things. He said the what? The breadth, that's how wide, and the what? And the length. Then he said what? The depth and the height. And there it is. If you want to know the love of God, you have to look at the cross of Calvary. That's how you're going to comprehend the love of God. Let's stand.